Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. Open your Bibles, please, the book of Matthew, chapter 11. I'm going to read one verse to get us started off this morning. Matthew, chapter 11, and verse 11. Lesson 16, I've decided this morning to keep going with Baptist history for the time being. I didn't have any leadership in another direction. And so this is going to be the beginning of lesson 16, and the title of it is John the First Baptist. John the First Baptist. Now, folks, this will be an extended lesson. We'll take this as far as the Lord leads us to. And could I be honest with you? Brother Richard just told me something a minute ago. I had no idea how many weeks we've been on Baptist history. I haven't counted them. My lessons, this is lesson 16, but each lesson, most of the lessons take more than 1 week, and I had not even tried to keep up with that, hadn't even thought about it. And Brother Richard tells me we're about 25, I think, about 25 weeks that we've been on this. And so, I don't know, we may be on this another, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 9. I don't know what it's going to be, but everywhere we go with it, it's where we're going to go. This morning, I want to start a rather extended lesson entitled John the First Baptist. Now, I'm going to start by reading Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11. The Bible says this, but now keep in mind the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here, and our Lord says this, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Now, I want to direct your attention to the first part of that verse. Now, later on in the study, we're going to come back to that second part, and we're going to try to give you some thoughts on who is least in the kingdom of heaven. Now, what is our Lord talking about when he says least in the kingdom of heaven in this portion of Scripture? And all. But right now, I want you to have this before you. The Lord said, "Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." Now, folks, I would submit to you this morning as we begin our thoughts that it's important to know something about a Bible character that our Lord Jesus Christ himself says is the greatest of those that are born among women. The Lord Jesus Christ never said that about, let's say, the Apostle Peter. Peter was a great man. We all know about the Apostle Peter and all the great things that God used him to do. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ never said that Peter was the greatest among women. The Apostle Paul, the one individual that God used more than any other person to pin down more books of the New Testament than any other person that was ever used of God. As great as the Apostle Paul was, the Lord Jesus Christ never said about the Apostle Paul, he's the greatest that has been born among women. But concerning John the Baptist, our Lord himself said, this man is the greatest that's ever been born among women. Folks, I submit to you this morning that we ought to know something about an individual that our Lord himself says is the greatest man that's ever been born among women. Now, just that thought itself, I really believe this morning that just that thought itself pretty much surprises most of us. Most of us have never heard very much preaching or teaching on John the Baptist. He's not a theme that we normally hear spoken of in real glowing terms. We don't usually hear about him often or in detail, but I believe that we should do that, and the Lord willing, that's what we're going to try to do in this series of lessons. Now, I believe at this point in time, after 25 or so weeks of studying Baptist history, I believe we're ready for this. Now, 25 weeks ago, I don't think that we would have been ready for this study on John the Baptist because, could I be honest with you? For me to stand even in a Bible-believing Baptist church and say that John was the first Baptist, John the Baptist was the first Baptist, is enough to get me laughed all the way out the back door of the church. People will hee-haw and belly laugh about that and say, "Brother Kirkpatrick, you are really cracked to think that John the Baptist was actually a Baptist." I believe, I, Maybe I'm deluded here, but I believe that I can prove that from the Word of God, that John was indeed the first Baptist, and that's the basis from which I'm proceeding, that John the Baptist really was the first Baptist ever mentioned in the Bible, and indeed the first Baptist that ever existed. Could I ask a question? If John the Baptist was not the first Baptist, who was? Who do you think was the first Baptist? If John the Baptist wasn't the first Baptist, there was no baptism. Are you staying with me? There was no baptism by immersion like we know it in New Testament times before John the Baptist. They never did it in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there were ceremonial washings. If you go back and study the Old Testament, during the consecration of the priest had to be washed. He wasn't immersed like we baptize today, but he had to be washed in water during the ceremonial cleansing. There were ceremonial cleansing of some of the pieces of the sacrifice. You go back and study the Old Testament. Some of the animals that were offered in sacrifice, the Bible gives instruction. Of course, this was only related to the children of Israel. They were instructed to cut the animal that was sacrificed into certain portions. And some portions of that sacrificial animal then had to be washed in water. And after it was washed in water, that portion of that animal was placed on the brazen altar and burned on the altar. So there were certain types of ceremonial washings in the Old Testament. Folks, there was no baptism by immersion in the Old Testament. So what John did was not a continuation of something that was done in Old Testament times. What John did was strictly a New Testament thing that started with John the Baptist. John's baptism was so important. I'm trying to whet your appetite. I hadn't even got to my notes yet. John the Baptist's baptism was so important that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself saw fit, and we'll come back to this, all these things I'm mentioning now are all things we're going to come back to and look at in detail. Our Lord saw the baptism of John the Baptist so important that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself traveled a great distance to come to where John the Baptist was, and He told John, "I need to be baptized of you." And after John, of course, you all are familiar with that account. John kind of argued with the Lord, "Lord, you need to baptize me. I don't need to baptize you." And the Lord said, "You know what? It becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. You need to do this." And John the Baptist baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that John the Baptist baptized all the 12 disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you realize that none of those disciples ever had to be rebaptized? Why not? Because the baptism of John the Baptist was New Testament Christian baptism, just exactly like we obey today when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior and follow the Lord in believer's baptism after we're born again. The baptism that John the Baptist began is the same baptism that continues on today. Wow. That's pretty neat stuff. I like that. And we need to know about that, and there's a lot of things that we're going to try to look at in this study. Now, the study before us centers around the life and ministry of John the Baptist. I'm intending to teach several things. Now, here's what I want to share with you during this series of studies. Also, could I just say again, I said this last week, I'm going to want to read a lot of verses of Scripture. I need you folks to help me with that. So if you'd be willing to do that, if you'll be ready when I give out the Scripture, if you just raise your hand and turn to that portion, we're going to read a lot of verses of Scripture, not just today. We're going to start it today, but throughout this series, throughout this lesson, we're going to read a lot of verses of Scripture, and I'd like for you folks to do the reading, if you would. You don't want to have to listen to me do all that. And so that'll be a blessing in and of itself. So if you'll help us do that, I'd appreciate it. Let me give out two right now. Luke 16:16. Thank you, brother. And Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. Thank you, brother. Brother Hub. And now here's where we're going. Let me list 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let me give you six things that we're going to learn during this study of John the Baptist. Number one, John's ministry was in and for the current dispensation. Now, it's not my intent to talk about dispensations. A dispensation is just for you and I, a dispensation, we think of the time aspect. A dispensation does have time. But in the mind of God, the main thought of a dispensation is not time, but the way God is working at that particular time in relation to the lives of men. So in this dispensation, the dispensation of grace or the dispensation of the church, the New Testament church, whichever way you want to refer to it, in this day that you and I are living, you know, it's important to understand that John's ministry was in and for this dispensation. The gospel age began with the preaching of John the Baptist. You say, well, Brother Kirkpatrick, how do you know that? Well, I know that because the Bible says that. So, the law and the prophets ran forward until the time of John the Baptist, and they stopped, and then the kingdom of God was preached. But the Bible is even more specific than that about this gospel age beginning with John the Baptist, and we'll see that in Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. Go ahead and read verses 2 and 3 too, brother, please. Verses 2 and 3 of Mark chapter 1 identify who verse 1 is talking about. It's talking about John the Baptist. He was prophesied in Isaiah and Micah in the Old Testament. We're going to get to all that. But now, verses 2 and 3 identified who verse 1 is talking about. Now, read verse 1 again for us, please. Now, listen to what it said. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, began, verses 2 and 3 of that same chapter, with the preaching of John the Baptist. You'll understand later on as we go through why that's important and all. But the beginning of the gospel age began with the preaching of John the Baptist. Number two, things that we want to learn here. John's ministry, his message, and his baptism was given by and wholly sanctioned by Almighty God. John's ministry, his baptism, and his message that he preached were all given to him directly by God and completely, absolutely sanctioned by God. Number three, John's job was to promote Jesus Christ, thus preparing men to accept Christ as Messiah and Savior. This ministry responsibility of John the Baptist included baptizing disciples. Now, this is the part that's going to surprise some of you. Thus preparing the first members of the New Testament church, which was started by the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, has it ever seemed odd to you that as you read the gospel accounts and you read about the calling of the 12 disciples, have you ever wondered about that? Why that these men, these 12 disciples, when the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene and came to them and called them to be his disciples, have you ever wondered why those men dropped whatever was in their hand? They quit doing whatever it was that they were doing, and they immediately went with the Lord Jesus Christ and followed him on the spot. Have you ever wondered why it was that they were prepared and willing to do that? Folks, they were willing to do that because they had been prepared for that ministry by John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist came on the scene to prepare people to follow Jesus Christ. And remember, John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. John said, when they tried to exalt him, he said, listen, I'm not even worthy to bend over and loose his shoes off of his feet. John the Baptist did his job so well in preparing men and women to follow Jesus Christ. They became disciples of John. He baptized them. And when Jesus came on the scene and began to call his disciples, those disciples were willing to immediately leave what they were doing, follow Jesus Christ, because they had been prepared by John the Baptist to do just that very thing. Wow. That's pretty neat stuff. I like that. Number four, John's baptism was New Testament Christian baptism, which never had to be replaced or redone. You're going to read in most commentaries you pick up, you're going to read in there that John's baptism was not the same baptism that we do today. They're going to say, well, you know, after all, the Bible says that John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Well, so what? The baptism we do today is a baptism of repentance also. We're going to show you that from the Bible. But you say, Brother Kirkpatrick, but wait a minute. There's two places in the Bible that tell us for sure, absolutely, with no doubt, that John's baptism wasn't the same baptism that we have today. Among the things, and we're going to look at the things specifically that John the Baptist preached. John the Baptist preached about the Holy Ghost. And yet those men said that they had never even heard that there even was a Holy Ghost. You know what that tells us? That tells us that those men had never heard John the Baptist preach. They weren't taught by the Baptist himself. And we're going to look into all that in detail later on. But for right now, I just want you to have this thought in your mind. John's baptism was New Testament Christian baptism, which never had to be replaced or redone. Next, John the Baptist taught much New Testament truth and doctrine, none of which was disputed or replaced by future revelation. Folks, there's not one thing that John the Baptist taught doctrinally that was ever disputed or replaced elsewhere in the Word of God. And last of all, and this is one that's going to make some of you mad, one unintentional result of this study will be to show that the New Testament church started before the day of Pentecost. Wow. You say, when do you think New Testament church started? I believe that the New Testament church started with the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and not on the day of Pentecost. It's my position that the local church was already in operation before the day of Pentecost. So those are some of my goals for this lesson, some of the areas that we're going to be exploring. And now we're going to spend the next ever how long it takes trying to show you those things from the Word of God. How about the name Baptist? How about the name Baptist? Now, throughout this study, my position has been this. Starting from day one, which I'm told now is 25 plus weeks ago. Starting from day one, I've told you this. The very first church started in the New Testament was a Baptist church. And the Baptist church has been present in an unbroken chain ever since that very first church. Now, with that thought in mind, let's look at the name Baptist just briefly this morning. 21st century Baptist, that's you and me. 21st century Baptist, as a rule, do not claim identification with John the Baptist. Folks, I've been at this thing for a long time. I've been in a Independent Baptist Church ever since I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior on February the 24th, 1974. I've had the privilege to rubbed shoulders with a lot of independent Baptist churches, and almost without exception, good men of God. I've been around a lot of good women of God that were knowledgeable of the Word of God also. And folks, I can tell you from experience and from the history that's available that 21st century Christians, you and I, 21st century Baptists, that's you and I, as a rule, don't claim identification with John the Baptist. Now, if we could, that would indeed be a high honor, because after all, Jesus said of John the Baptist, he's the greatest man that's ever been born of a woman, John the Baptist. So if we could claim identification with John the Baptist, it would indeed be a high honor. Well, I submit to you this morning that not only we can claim identification with John the Baptist, we ought to claim identification with John the Baptist, and that's what I intend to do in this study of lessons. I've even heard jokes over the years. I've even heard Baptist preachers talk about John the Baptist. I'm telling you the truth now. And they say, yeah, John the Baptist was the first Baptist, and they laugh like that was a joke. Wow. I really believe that John the Baptist was the first Baptist. I said, Brother Kirkpatrick, I never heard anything like that before. Well, I'm going to give you my Bible reason. Now, stay with me. We're talking about the name Baptist. Keep in mind that the name John was divinely given before the birth of the Baptist. I'd like for someone to take Luke chapter 1 and verse 13. Luke chapter 1 and verse 13. Who will read that for us? Look that up. Brother Ryan, would you do that? Turn to Luke chapter, Luke chapter 1 and verse 13 and read that verse for us. Now remember, we're talking about right now, here's where I'm going. Stay with me. We're talking about John the Baptist. The name John was a name that was divinely given. Luke chapter 1 and verse 13. Wow. Now, the angel came to Zechariah, and he said, your wife's going to have a son, and his name is going to be John. Now, if you turned on over, we're not going to take the time in that same chapter, chapter 1 of Luke. If you turned over to verses 60 through 66, the rest of that story there, you'll find out that, you remember the occasion that Zacharias, he couldn't speak. He came out of the temple and he couldn't talk. And some of his relatives and the friends were gathered together, and they said, what's the child's name going to be? The mother had said his name's going to be John, and they couldn't believe it. They said, you know what? Nobody in your family's name is John. You can't name him John. And so they asked Zacharias, they said, what's his name going to be? And remember, he couldn't talk at that point in time, so he took his pen and paper, and he wrote down, his name is John. And they all marveled, and then he could talk, and boy, then they did get scared after that, you know, and all. But listen, the name John was divinely given. But folks, the name Baptist was divinely given also. The name Baptist was divinely given also. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. Who'll read that for us? Matthew chapter 3. And verse 1. Thank you, sister. Would you turn there right now, please? Turn to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1 and read that for us. Okay. The Holy Spirit is speaking, of course, through the writer Matthew in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. And before John had ever baptized the first person, it says, the Spirit of God tells us, then came John the Baptist, baptizing in the wilderness of Judea. Now, folks, I submit to you this morning from the Word of God that John's name, both John and Baptist, were names that were divinely given by Almighty God. The term Baptist is a name that's divinely given. And the term Baptist is simply a synonym for Christianity. They are one and the same. The word Baptist is a word of biblical origin, but more than that, it's a name of divine origin. It came from Almighty God, and it's in the Bible. The name Methodist is not in the Bible. The name Episcopalian is not in the Bible. The name Lutheran is not in the Bible. Congregationalist is not in the Bible, but Baptist is in the Bible. I submit to you that Baptist is a name and a title that's given by God. It's a synonym for Christianity, and we ought to be thankful that God has graced us to allow us to be associated with a New Testament church here in this place. The name Baptist is found, 15 times in your King James New Testament. The first time it's found is the verse that we just read in Matthew chapter 3, and verse number 1, the Holy Spirit used the name Baptist speaking through Matthew in the giving of the Word of God, and we see that it used that way that first time by the Holy Spirit in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. The Lord Jesus Christ used the name Baptist 5 times. The Lord Jesus Christ himself used the word Baptist 5 times. Let's read some of those times. Somebody, those of you that are willing to help us read, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11. We'll take that. Thank you, brother. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. Thank you, Brother Donald. Brother, if you'll take Matthew chapter 17 and verse 13, I'd like for someone to take Luke chapter 7 and verse 28. Luke chapter 7, verse 28. Thank you, brother. And Luke chapter 7 and verse 33. Who'll read that for us? Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Now, we're looking at the name Baptist. Now, folks, I'm just trying to get you to get it in your mind. You see, what we've heard or what we've been not taught, possibly, is that there's no association between modern-day Baptist and John the Baptist. I want to stop now. If I'm not anything else, I want to be honest in all of these studies. There is absolutely, everyone listen to me, as far as I know, there is absolutely zero historical evidence that the members of the first church were called Baptists. There is no evidence that the members of the first church were called Baptists. There is no question whatsoever that they were Baptistic in doctrine, just like you and I are. But could I remind you of this? In that day, there was no reason for them to be called Baptist. They were first called Christians at Antioch as a name of derision. There was no reason for them to be called Baptist because there were no denominations in that day. The first church was the first church, and there were no other churches. There were no Methodists and Episcopalians and Lutherans and Congregationalists and Roman Catholic and Church of God and Church of Christ and Nazarene and on and on and on and on we could go. There were none of those. They didn't have to be identified with the term Baptist, even though they definitely were Baptistic in doctrine. John the Baptist was the first Baptist because God gave him the name Baptist, and there's no way in the world you can deny that when you read the Word of God. And so, I submit to you again that the church of today, the Baptist church of today, ought to identify with John the Baptist. Now, let's read the verses here. I want you to notice that Christ used the term Baptist 5 times. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 13. Luke chapter 7 and verse 28. Luke chapter 7 and verse 33. 8:28, Luke 7:20, and Luke 9:19. The enemies or the foes of John the Baptist use the term Baptist five times in the Bible also. So folks, altogether the term Baptist appears in our King James Bible New Testament 15 times. It's a term, it's a word, it's a title of divine authority. The next thing I want to go to is this. John the Baptist was clearly prophesied in the Old Testament. John the Baptist was clearly prophesied in the Old Testament. Now, before I go there, I want to remind you again. Jesus said of men that are born of women, there's not a greater arisen than John the Baptist. Didn't say that about Peter. Didn't say that about Paul. Didn't say that about the godly deacon Stephen that stood firm until the end and they stoned him to death. Didn't say that about any of the other apostles. Also, could I tell you this? And this is the section that we're going to, the thought we're going to right now. None of those others were prophesied in the Old Testament either. But John the Baptist was. John the Baptist was prophesied in the Old Testament. John the Baptist among New Testament characters is second only to the Lord Jesus Christ as to prominence in Old Testament prophecy. John the Baptist was prefigured by the prophet Elijah in the Old Testament. He was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, and he was promised by the prophet Malachi in the Old Testament, and we're going to look at all those before we're finished, but he was prefigured by Elijah, prophesied by Isaiah. That's in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. He was promised by Malachi in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. The Lord Jesus Christ said something about John in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 14. He said this, he said, if you will receive it, this is Elias or Elijah, which was for to come. So, the Baptist was prefigured in the Old Testament by the prophet Elijah, and when he came on the scene, many people thought that he was Elijah. A lot of good people still think that he was, and for a pretty good Bible reason. I don't hold that position, but at any rate, that is thought. The Holy Spirit says something about John in Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. Have we already read that verse? Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. The Bible says this concerning John the Baptist. It says, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias or Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedience to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, folks, John was not actually Elijah. We'll take, I'd like for someone to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 21. Who'll read that? John chapter 1 and verse 21. Brother Hub, if you'll take that then, John chapter 1 and 21. John was not actually Elijah. He admitted that to the committee of priests and Levites that came to him from Jerusalem. They asked him, they said, are you Elijah? And here's what he said in John chapter 1 and verse 21. All right, so even though he came in the spirit and power of Elijah, John the Baptist wasn't actually the prophet Elijah, but he had all the power, the Spirit of God upon him, and people recognized him as a unique and unusual man of God. It's 20 till. It's time for me to stop. We're going to stop right there, and we'll begin here next time and go as far as the Lord will allow us to go. And I trust that these things will be an encouragement and benefit to you. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the good word of God, blessing the service to follow. Speak through our pastor as he brings the message from the word of God, blessing all the other services that will be going on during the worship hour. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.